All right, how many's glad to be at Fairhaven Baptist College and Chapel? Amen? How many's glad to be saved? Amen? I enjoyed that ladies' choir and that song about salvation. I was saved in November of 1977. I was 22 years old. I'm now 60. And I'll tell you what happened to me. I didn't grow up in a home at all where there was any Christian influence. There was never a Bible in our home in my 22 years in the home. We were never once, us five children, never once taken to church, not once. There was never a prayer in our home, not once, not even for a meal. I'm not critical of my parents. I honor and respect my parents and love my parents. The only time I ever heard the name of Jesus Christ mentioned was when my mom and dad were in an argument and they used his name in vain. But in November of 1977, on my back in bed around 3 a.m. in the morning, after hearing the gospel through a preacher just compassionately and systematically over several times, I recognized I was a sinner. I'll tell you what happened to me when I got saved. My God died. It was me. I put a lot of trust in being able to stay away from the things that other people were doing, and I was able to do that for many, many years until I got to be a late teenager, a young man, and I started to do some of the things that I couldn't stay away from that others were doing, and my family broke up, and all of my security went away. It was in being able to stay away from bad things, and my security was in my family. I got saved because my God died. It was me. And I beg God for mercy. There's a lot going around nowadays about what salvation is. I'll tell you what it was for me. I beg God for mercy. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And He pardoned my soul. So I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad many of you may know that you're saved. And I loved that lady's choir about, Oh Happy Day. If that was the title of it, it probably wasn't, but something similar. So I'm glad to be with you folks again here at Fairhaven Baptist College. I want to thank Pastor Dameron and Brother Armacost for extending to me another invitation. And I look forward to challenging you this morning. I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart as Brother Armacost challenged you to do so. Take your Bibles and go with me to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. And while you're doing that, I'll get a drink of water. And I want you to locate with me in Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 5. I will tell you in introducing this message that the whole chapter of Proverbs 31 is going to be appropriate. I'm going to focus on the first five verses of Proverbs 31. I don't want you young ladies to neglect the fact that verses 10 through 31 is addressing yourselves, addressing the virtuous woman. I want you to look at this as a message directed for both young men and young ladies, but my text is going to be Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to bypass the other verses, verses 10 through 31. How many of you young ladies probably have read Proverbs 31? Would you raise your hand? I don't want to put you on the spot. Amen. All right. How many of you have heard a message or been in a Bible study or a Sunday school class or a college course, young ladies, on Proverbs 31? All right. Wonderful. So you're well familiar with that, but this message is going to be directed for both young men and young ladies. And as Brother Armacost said, my burden, my one cause for today is revival for America. And I want to challenge you along those lines, but I also want to identify in this message that which really burdens me and concerns me. Now, I know you're at a Bible college where there's outstanding standards, and for that I'm glad. Worldly standards are not allowed here at all, at college, at chapel, at church, in any aspect of Fairhaven Baptist Church and college ministry, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to preach something today that really has burdened my heart, and I hope it'll be a help to you. It's not going to be anything new. I'm not going to try and get real deep into theology. That's for your instructors. I think that we are real deep in theology, but very, very shallow in neology often. So I just want to be a help to you, and I hope that you'll respond. And I know most of you come from family backgrounds and church backgrounds, and of course this college, the background here and its history, where there's paramount emphasis on standards and convictions. But I also know that there's breaks, that no one can walk around with you with a microscope on you at all times. I also know that you get to go home for holidays in between college years, and you're also going to be in a place at one time or another where you're going to have to, in your heart, stand up for what's right. Amen? So I want that to be a help to you today. If you don't mind, and if you would please, let's stand together as I read these first five verses of Proverbs 31. I'll read out loud. You just read to yourselves. We'll have a word of prayer and get right into the message. Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I want to focus one last time on verse 4. Look at the first part of it. It is not for kings. Here's the title of my message: That Which Brings Down Kings. That Which Brings Down Kings. And I'm not talking about political kings or governmental kings. I'm talking about the children of God, the redeemed, the sons and daughters of the Eternal One. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you again for everything connected with Fairhaven Baptist Church and College and these fine young people. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move in a way, Father, that would challenge us and draw us to just a closer walk with thee. And Father, if some need to come to full surrender, I pray, Father, that would take place. Let us not be, Father, so proud that we can't humble ourselves today and gain victory. And Father, just work as only you can. Let there be Holy Spirit power in the pulpit and in the pew with the preacher and with the people for your honor and your glory. And we'll be sure to give you the praise, for thou alone art worthy. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach this message, That Which Brings Down Kings. You know, I'm horrified. I'm not trying to be fatalistic, but I am horrified at the moral defilement among professing believers in our churches today. I'm absolutely horrified at it. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about the secular world. Mind you, I'm not referring to lukewarm Christianity. I'm not referring to liberalism or modernism in the church. I'm referring to the rank and file of those that believe that they are fundamentalists and want to be fundamentalists and are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-reading Christians. Amen? I'm horrified at the moral defilement that's going on in the pulpits, outside the pulpits, in the pews, wherever. I'm horrified. I hope you are too. And I want to point out some things to you this morning that will bring down kings. Bring them down. And we find here in Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 5, that the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, the word Lemuel, the name Lemuel means devoted of God. And obviously, his mother taught him the word of God. And ingrained within his heart and within his spirit and within his walk, that he is to live for God and keep God preeminent in his life. Amen? And she says in verse 2, what, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Notice verse 3, give not thy strength unto women. Now, again, ladies, you listen to me. You know Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and that's talking about the virtuous woman. Your emphasis is found in those verses, but this very text, verses 1 through 5, applies to both men and women. Now, in this particular passage, of course, King Lemuel, being a man, and his mother giving him these teachings, she says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I simply find in that text that which will bring down kings. And King Lemuel's mother and the Word of God, hey, you're the redeemed of the Lord if you're saved, amen? The Bible says that you are kings and priests unto God, and you shall reign on the earth. So male or female, you folks are kings and priests unto God right now, amen? You are representatives of the great high God, the risen Savior. Do you recognize that? Can you say amen? But we don't have to go too far nor dig too deep to find out that there's a tremendous moral defilement going on in our midst. The social media, and I'm not into social media. I'm not necessarily criticizing it. It's just that I don't know anything about it. I'm not a techie, all right? But I want you to understand something. We have to get beyond the point that we think that we can play in the devil's playground and mix ourselves in with those tempting opportunities that are out there and think that it won't bring us down. It will bring us down. That which brings down kings. I'm not talking about, again, I'm not talking about political kings or governmental kings. I'm talking about you folks are kings and priests unto God. And there's something out there, many things out there that will bring you down. See, being a king represents authority. Being a king represents power. Not that we are haughty and mean-spirited and proud of our standing in Christ. Amen? We're to condescend to men of low estate. But a king represents leadership. A king represents influence. And you're being trained. And you've surrendered your life to be under the teaching and preaching of God's Word and to live for Jesus Christ and make an impact in this world. Have you? But you need to be forewarned, and I need to be forewarned that there's things which can bring down kings. And we don't have to identify a multitude of things. I find here just two overall categories that cover them all. In reality, King Lemuel's mother was trying and did try to teach him moral courage. Moral courage. Not this stuff out there or you may be tempted with where, you know, I can give in a little bit, or I can be a part of that a little bit, or I can allow that to influence me in my eye gate or my ear gate or in my friendships, my associations, my walks with others. We need to have a moral courage, amen? We can be strong and athletic and intellectual and handsome or beautiful and have all types of physical virtues. And praise the Lord if God's gifted you in some of those areas. But the number one strength that she was trying to impart to her son is moral courage. And that's not an attribute or an attitude that you can just handle flippantly. That's not something you can trace back and say, well, I got it from my parents. That's not something you can say, I got it in my many years in church. That's not something you can say, I got it from my time at Fairhaven Baptist College. No, folks, moral courage is something that you're going to have to develop within you as you get into the Word of God and walk with God. You're going to have some moral courage, or it will bring you down. And listen, I'm not on some headhunting mission here, and I wouldn't do that. But we do find in this text, and isn't it very intriguing, that she said, give not thy strength unto women. Men, don't surrender what God made you to be because of your fleshly passions and appetites. Amen and amen. Give not thy strength unto women. That's interesting, thy strength. And we can just type that. Giving your strength unto women is just allowing your flesh to follow wickedness. After all, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen? Don't give thy strength over men and women to wickedness. And by the way, wickedness is permeating and has permeated and will continue to permeate every fabric of our society, especially so in the area of social media and electronic media. And don't give your strength unto wickedness. Don't surrender what God has saved you for and made you to be for Christ's sake. Don't surrender that. Don't just for a passing moment, don't give up that moral courage that God is working into your heart and your life. Even if friends desert you, even if people defame you, you stand for Jesus Christ. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Thy ways, that's worldliness. You say, well, I can stay away from wickedness because I might get caught. I can disassociate from that which is obviously dark and dirty and desperate in this society in which I live. I can do that. But she said, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Wasn't she a wonderful mother? Amen? You say, preacher, I've heard all of this before. Well, why is it in there? Why is it in there? Just remember this title. You don't have to get it from someone else. Get it from the Word of God. That which bringeth down kings. A lack of moral courage to do right. To live for Jesus Christ. To be all that you say you are in Christ. You're kings and priests unto God. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10. That's what you were made to be. Kings and priests unto God. Don't surrender that standing in this life. Amen? I know this is very simplistic on purpose. I just like verse 4. It's not for kings. It's not for kings. Even in practical purposes, those in government offices. Wow, what a situation we see going on all around us. Give not thy strength to women. Don't give yourself over to wickedness, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Don't give yourself over to worldliness. I have a burden for you folks and for other young people that if we're ever going to see God once again in the place that he ought to be in our precious nation, it's going to take this generation of young people to say, I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm not going to swim with the tide. I'm not going to surrender the moral courage that Jesus Christ wants me to have for anything or anyone. Amen. It'll bring you down. It'll bring you down. Do you want that? Do you want to join the ranks of the mediocre? Do you want to get into a rut like others have gotten into a rut? Do you want to meet the status quo? Or do you want to be kings and priests unto God that have leadership and authority and power and influence in this wicked, dark day in which we live? Amen? I want you to want that. Go with me, if you would, just for a few moments. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and keep your finger right there in Proverbs 31, just the next book up. Let's go there. I want to show you something, and you're well familiar with this in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And by the way, I'm sure Brother Armacost and Brother Ramos and Brother Mitchell and all the, Brother Kelso and the other adults that are in here, myself included, listen, I don't want to be a casualty for Jesus Christ. I want my life to count. They full well know that, listen, I'm married, but you know what? I'm to be the leader in the home. I pastored many years, and I found out that a lot of men, they hid behind their wives' dresses. Because they were willing to transfer that strength that God gave them to be a leader to fulfill their fleshly passions and appetites, and they hid behind. They couldn't ascend to be the leader in their home because, hey, they let that bring them down. Oh, they may be happily married. They may be able to work with one another in a marriage, but listen, don't give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroyeth kings. And ladies, as we would take opportunity maybe to read verses 10 through 31, you see the same thing for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verses 5 through 7. This highlights what I'm trying to say. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 5 through 7, there is an evil. And by the way, Solomon, very likely the writer of Ecclesiastes, experienced this evil. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It's an evil, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler, or could we say the king? Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. The lack of moral strength, the lack of moral conviction will bring you down. Look at Saul. He had an untimely death at the hands of God's enemies, the Philistines, did he not? Look at Solomon. Did he not cleave on the women in strange love? And he helped lead Israel into apostasy. Look at David. His adultery with Bathsheba, he experienced total abandonment from God and judgment to his household fourfold. He was a king, but he was walking as a servant upon the earth in illustration here. He's remembered more for the shame and reproach of his adultery with Bathsheba, more so than he is described in the scriptures as a man after God's own heart. It brought him down. Look at Samson. A Nazarite vow he had from his mother's womb. He was oftentimes visited by the Spirit of God that came upon him and enabled him with great power. But he died at the hands of the Philistines, very likely the sin unto death. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, and you've probably heard it, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. I was reading several years ago, and I do read some devotionals that are as to prime my pump. I do. If I can find one that Vance Hafner authored, that's what's priming my pump. And I just take a few seconds to get my pump primed early in the morning to get into the Word of God, and I love that, to be in the Word of God. But several years ago, I got some antique bookstore or something I picked up, and you said, Brother Zinger, you probably should have read it a long time ago. I already told you, if I got a Vance Hafner one, that's where I'm at. So I picked up My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. That classic. I picked it up. One of the older, dusty ones. And I was reading through that one day, and something caught me that he said. He said this. I want you to listen to it. He said this. It's not that believers cannot sin. It's that believers need not sin. Don't you dare, you listen to me, don't you dare surrender that leadership opportunity, that influence that Jesus Christ has enabled you to have in the circle in which he will use you now and then because of the wickedness of the flesh or the ways of the world. Don't do it. Amen? Bob Jones Sr. also said this, you're familiar with the back of every tragedy in human character, there is a process of wicked thinking. It's not for kings. It's not for you, young men and young ladies, to give thy strength unto wickedness, nor thy ways unto the world. It will bring you. I like the title. I could have gave that, read the text, and stopped. And my wife would have said, amen. That which brings down kings. It was Robert F. Kennedy, I'm just quoting him, said, moral courage is a rarer commodity than bravery in battle or great intelligence. I find it all over the place. And I don't run with the world. My circles are not with social media. I find the lack of moral courage in places where I'm at today. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways over to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to do that. It's not, no, no, no. It's glory to God. Now that I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Let me take you back just for a moment to Proverbs 31, and let me give you some practical truths for victory. I just want to leave you with some real practical truths for victory in this area. After all, we can preach what the Bible says, but we need to put tools in the hands of those that listen to our messages. Tools. I don't have anything to show off about. Just look at me. But I can tell you that in the Word of God, God not only tells us how to live, but He gives us the tools to direct us how to live. And I want to leave you with some, okay? Right in the text. Look at verse 1 again of Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Verse 4, it is not for kings. Number one, recognize your position. You're a king and priest unto Jesus Christ, and you'll reign with him on the earth. Recognize your position. You say, oh, wow, that's astounding. It is said that it has to be astounding today. It used to be in church history and in local New Testament Baptist churches, living a godly, holy life, a righteous life, not mixing with the world, not compromising, was elevated to a position of that's real discipleship. But today, it's almost out the window completely. Recognize your position. You're kings and priests unto God. Number two, look at verse 5. Lest they drink, talking about drinking wine or strong drink, and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Rehearse your privileges. You don't want to violate the biblical mandates of your walk with Jesus Christ. You don't want to lose the opportunity to have influence and make a difference in this world. Rehearse your privileges as a king of Jesus Christ. Number three, resist your passions. Verse 3 again. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So recognize your position. Rehearse your privileges as a king and resist your passions. Hey, give not thy strength unto women. Don't give yourself over to wickedness. Don't give your ways over to the world. It destroys kings. It'll bring you down. Resist your passions, your lusts, your fleshly appetites, those things that do not honor and glorify Jesus Christ, no matter how needful or necessary they may be. If there's a negative influence, do not partake with them. Resist your passions. They'll only feed your passions. You'll take a brief moment and maybe indulge in, say, I'll confess later, but it might be the very moment that brings you down. And by the way, after, you know what I believe gives a young person or any person power with God? A faithful walk with God and a clear conscience. So, resist your passions. Number four, respect your superiors. You say, where's that in the text? Look at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows? Respect your superiors, your parents, your instructors. Amen? But lastly, reverence the Savior. Reverence the Savior. You say, well, I'm willing to slide a little bit on my position. I enjoy the privileges of being a king and priest under the Lord, but there's some other things I like to do too. Every once in a while, I got to feed my passions. Oh, I will respect my superiors when I can. But the bottom line is, reverence your Savior. That'll help you not to give thy strength unto wickedness and thy ways unto the world. I want to close, if I could, in 1 Peter 2:9. And then give you a closing illustration. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Remember the title, That Which Brings Down Kings? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, royal kingship, in holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Make it your desire today to grow in moral courage, to resist the wickedness of the flesh and the ways of the world. Make it your desire today. I want to give you this illustration. The adventurer Harry Pigeon circled the globe in a small sailboat. It fits what I'm talking about. Once during an interview, he asked, "Do you know the most dangerous thing a man sailing alone has to face?" The interviewer responded, "I suppose storms and rocks." "You're wrong," Pigeon said. "It wasn't storms I was afraid of, but the clear, calm weather when a good breeze was blowing. In a gale, when a man goes on deck, he holds fast to something, for he knows he might fall overboard. But in fair weather, he's apt to walk around the deck without thinking. Then a little roll of the boat will throw him overboard and he is lost." Don't let that happen to you. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you. We love you, Father. We thank you for these fine young people during this invitation. Dear God, draw those unto you, and it's not embarrassing or to be ashamed of, but who will honestly determine not to allow the wickedness of the flesh and the ways of the world to bring down their kingship. Work in hearts, save souls. If that need to be done, God, thou knowest. Please work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. You might want to come.